This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Toscano joins us in studio, along with Susan White, and David, you are not here as a delegate, you are here as an attorney.
No politics today.
That's a little strange for this program.
It's very strange.
You are with Buck Toscano and Teresker.
Right.
And Susan White is in private practice in Charlottesville and has been practicing for over 30 years. And I have been really looking forward to this because there's something new on the legal horizon that folks should know about, should be familiar with. And Susan, if you could just start off and tell us what it is, what we're talking about, and then we'll get into some specifics.
David and I both have been doing something called collaborative divorce law, and we have been doing it in the family law area, but actually it can be applied to almost any area of civil law. And it involves a withdrawal from the adversarial system and a very positive approach where the clients and the attorneys sit down together. They sign a contract saying they are going to resolve their differences in a moderate, honest, professional way. The big thing about collaborative law that distinguishes it from mediation or attorney-assisted arbitration or other forms of alternative dispute resolution is if the process doesn't work, if it breaks down, the attorneys have to withdraw. This is huge because the clients will have made a big investment in their attorneys, and they will have spent, hopefully, time trying to work it out. So there's a lot of incentive to have it work once you've gotten into it.
Susan White and David Toscano are our guests. We're talking about collaborative law. I've never heard of it. David, when did you first hear about this and sort of flesh it out for us exactly how it works?
Well, a couple of years ago I heard about it, and I think that a lot of us who practice divorce law get very disillusioned about the process because you've got husbands and wives breaking up. They often have children involved. There are a lot of assets involved. And our experience, and for me it's over 20 years, for Susan over 30 years, is people do terrible things to each other and to their children often in a divorce. And that really has to do with what happens when they litigate. So we're looking for a new way, and this is the new way, we think. A lot of the initiative came from places in Canada where folks got together to develop this approach, but it has spread throughout the United States and I think other parts of the world as well. So we've got a number of people trained in this area to do this kind of law, and it works so much better than the litigating approach.
So just to back up for a minute, when did mediation start? Because I've heard of that.
Mediation has been around ever since I started practicing law, so it's got to be at least 30 years. But it's gone on in some form or another, I'm sure, within the last century. But this began with a guy named Stu Webb, and he was a Minnesota lawyer who just became so unhappy with litigation in the divorce context. So he is the founder of this, and that happened in the 90s. And
and this is collaborative law. That's what we're talking
about.
Yes. And that's what they call it.
That's what they call it, collaborative law. And it started initially with the family law area, but it has spread to other areas of civil litigation.
Susan, how does it work? I mean, I know nothing about it. So how would it work? Like, if I came to you and you said, I know you want to do this legal thing here, and I would like to tell you about something called collaborative law that I would like to suggest as a tool, that an approach that we can take to this legal matter.
Well, I would explain to you that you're going to have to be able to sit down at a table with your wife and be polite to her. Not call her names, and that part doesn't always work. I have had a lot of experience. But you're sitting with your lawyer next to you, and your lawyer is advising you the whole time. In this area, we try to go into these series of meetings where we sit down to resolve the disputes, having had all the one-on-one contact with our client before those meetings. So hopefully during the meetings, we'll be able to advise our client and sometimes advise the other client and do it in an open, transparent way. Hopefully there will be no meetings between these meetings with the client, and if there are, we come to the back to the table and say, I met with Mary or I met with Coy and we discussed this and this is what I told him. So there is no hiding the ball in this.
Yeah. And that's key. I mean, everything is open on the table, open for discussion. Unlike negotiations, where often people hide the ball in order to take advantage of situations and they take these strong positions where they may try to intimidate the other side into giving in. In a collaborative session, you put all your assets up on the table. You put your goals up on the table. Oftentimes people talk about their hopes and fears for the process, again, in an open fashion. The hope is that in that process, people will collaborate to develop a solution that makes the best of what is objectively not a great situation to be in.
We're talking with attorneys David Toscano and Susan White of Charlottesville. The phone lines are open at 977-1070 if you have a comment or a question about collaborative law. A quick break. We'll be right back. We're talking with Susan White and David Toscano about collaborative law. Wendy is on the phone in Charlottesville. Wendy, go right ahead.
Yes, thank you, Coy. I just turned this on, so you may have already covered this, but I'm curious as to how long does this process take, and typically, I know every situation is different, but also does this have to go to a judge once everyone comes to an agreement, or does this go right through?
Two great questions.
Hi, Wendy. Generally speaking, we have a series of meetings. We try to set up at least two or three at the beginning. The first meeting is spent sort of getting ground rules and asking what the goals of everybody there is, and then we sign the contract. I have finished a collaborative case and signed the agreement in two short meetings. That was very unusual. They average, I think, about 5 to 7. And if they do that, we believe it saves the clients a great deal of, a lot of money.
And 5 to 7 meetings, we're talking about a matter of weeks?
Well, it depends on the availability. I'm just doing collaborative law, so I'm much more available than, say, somebody who still has a litigation practice and has to, be in court or prepare for a trial. But, yes, they can be set up over. It's good to have some time in between each meeting because the clients will be asked to bring in documents to work out budgets, and if there needs to be an outside expert, such as a financial advisor, that person needs to be brought on board. Very often, a financial advisor is helpful and can be brought in for both parties to look at their joint incomes and come up with a good resolution for everybody.
And that's where you might save a substantial amount of money, because in litigation, each party hires their own expert, and so you have a duel of experts, and it's costing both parties a lot more money. In this arrangement, you bring in the expert, they're hired by both parties, cuts the cost dramatically.
Well, it sounds like the most sensible way to do it. You wonder why we haven't been doing it like this all along.
Well, lawyers are trained to be litigators, and it's... At some level, it's fun, but it can become very destructive.
What about Wendy's question? Does a judge need to put the final stamp of approval on the agreement?
The judge doesn't need to put the stamp of approval on the agreement. You enter into agreement like any contract, but you take the agreement with the divorce, if that's ultimately where you're headed, to a judge, but you never have to see the judge. It's all paperwork and submitted by the attorneys.
Wendy, any more questions?
No, that was wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for the call.
Okay.
How many lawyers here are doing this in the Charlottesville area, do you think?
David said about 20.
About 20.
But they're in Lynchburg and around Lynchburg and Harrisonburg. They're probably another 15 that are trained.
You have to have a special training. You got to go through a course or two to get certified. And you've got to develop some special skills, mediation skills, that lawyers who are used to litigating are not necessarily skilled at. So,
It really is a very different approach to this scenario, isn't it?
I was trained. I took the training for mediation. And the one thing that occurred to me about the difference is mediation, the mediator is supposed to be a facilitator. And if you have one very strong personality and one less strong personality, sometimes there's an imbalance that's created. With the collaborative, you have your attorney there, and that attorney is going to be watching out for you all the time and not going to allow you to slip into some passive agreement.
It almost sounds more like a real estate closing. You know what I mean? When everybody's at the table and the paperwork's being
signed. Well, not everybody is happy in these things. They can be very unhappy and still do this.
And it's a lot of hard work, too, because there are very strong disagreements that are at that table, and you have figure out a way to channel that energy into a productive resolution. It's not always easy, and sometimes it doesn't work, and Susan's had some experience with that.
Tell me some stories of some examples of where this has really worked well and maybe some where it hasn't.
I'll tell you a story about where it has really worked well. We had two people, one who had been primarily a stay-at-home homemaker and the other one who was a professional who owned his own office. She wanted very much to retain a residence that was worth a lot of money. He felt very strongly about not having his business appraised. Now, if we'd gone to court, his business would have been appraised, his books would have been looked into, the house would have been appraised. It was probably worth a lot more than we agreed it was. We were able to really come out of the box and create new solutions. And this one, we were able to create a solution where he kept his business, he kept the house. He paid her a great deal of money for a period of time. And this is where a financial advisor really helped us, showed if she was able to keep her assets together and not use them, that she, in a period of 5 years, she'd be self-supporting. He looked at us at the last meeting and said, there were times I didn't remember who my lawyer was. And it was a nice moment.
Yeah.
He felt
usually don't hear those stories from divorce proceedings.
And here's another story. This wasn't a case I had with Susan, another attorney in town, but we went through the whole process, took us four or five meetings. And at the last meeting where everyone sat to sign the agreement, they brought presents for each other and for their lawyers. Now, how many times have you, Susan, how many times have you ever walked out of court where your client gave you a present at the end of the litigation? I don't think it's ever happened.
Now, Susan,
just hope they pay me.
You've been practicing law for 30 years. This is a major, divorce law, this is a major change in the way divorce law is practiced.
It's absolutely. I was going to quit at 30 years because I'd had it. My last litigated case was so unpleasant, so unnecessary, and after 3 years of litigating it and hundreds of thousands of dollars in fees and costs, the judge split everything down the middle. And I said, you know, I knew that was going to happen. There were no kids. There was nothing. And so I said that I was either going to quit law entirely or do something different. And this has changed my life doing this.
So how can folks get in touch with both of your offices if they have further questions?
Well, I'm the only Toscano in the book. I don't know.
I'm Susan White on Water Street.
Susan White on Water Street and David Toscano. That's T-O-S-C-A-N-O with Buck Toscano and Tereskers. Thank you both for being here.
Thank
Pleasure.
You.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.